Guys, this is it.
Yeah.
The jig's up.
The jig's up. Jig's up. You caught us. You caught us.
This.
We all knew this was, we knew this was coming.
You know, life.
Maybe you knew this was coming. I don't know.
Life is happening. Life is happening. You know, people are growing.
People are growing.
People are changing.
People are changing.
The river's flowing.
The river's flowing into the lake that is the rest of our lives.
The wind has changed directions. And the sails are carrying us somewhere new.
Yeah. If you will, if you're clicking on this episode, then it's not clickbait. We're doing this to you again a year later. Because we know that you're all refugees from the last podcast. But
and now we truly cast the last surviving members of the original show into the abyss.
But either way, yeah, guys, the title is true, whatever we ended up titling it. This is going to be the final episode of Take It Easy. We'll talk about why over the course of this episode and just kind of talk
about... talk about the positives coming our way.
The positives
so
coming our way.
So that it's not a downer.
So it's not a downer and the future, but... This is the last episode of Take It Easy. Tucker, take it away.
I'm sorry, guys.
No, you have to say the...
Oh, let's take it easy.
Guys, the podcast is ending. The podcast is ending. I mean, there's several reasons why. We'll talk about it on here. It'll be less.
Podcasts are designed to end.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, any show really is designed.
This one, was. Well, let's talk about the birth of the podcast a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
Birth of the podcast. Chuckle was ending, and we knew Chuckle was going to end for a long time.
Yeah, we knew Chuckle was ending for a long time. We found out from Schlatt that Chuckle was going to end, or that he wanted
out of that project, at least. Like, he wanted closure.
Yeah, he wanted closure on it.
On bad terms.
He just wanted to move. Yeah, exactly.
Wanted to move on.
And he gave us a lot of time, too, which was very, to his credit.
Was
very respectful of him to do that. He let us know about that. He let us know about that in February of 2024.
So we had a full year,
a little bit more than 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and that put us in a situation which was like, okay, I knew I was gonna be fine, but the current situation at that point was up until that point. I mean, since like 2021,
And I was getting more and more entrenched in like the content space.
Yeah, you had a YouTube
channel. And we were still
living
in New York too. Like, I was in college, and then I had graduated college in summer of 24.
Mm-hmm.
And I was then like full-time YouTube, Chuckle, Twitch situation, I was enjoying certain aspects of the business, but other aspects was like, I don't know, still trying, figuring out what I liked, what I didn't. But Ted was our employer, and Chuckle was doing really well. So we thought, let's just try this on our own because we could use the work and we know how to do this and we're friends. So why not? And Take It Easy worked or whatever, but it's not.
And we spent like the next year kind of figuring out what we were going to title it and stuff. And we pre-recorded some stuff even in November of 2024, Kenya episode. For Take It Easy, our whole thing was like, hey, this is going to be,
like the new, our new thing.
Our new thing, and it was sort of predicated on where we were in our lives at that point, kind of remaining the same in terms of the time that we had and the things that we wanted to do and stuff. So like there were things that we thought about for Take It Easy where it was like, oh, maybe if this does really well, we'll do fucking like live shows, or we'll do, you know, we'll do a bunch of specials. Tucker will be coming out to LA. I'll be coming out to the East Coast. We'll be filming a bunch of stuff and it's going to be a good time.
And then, something that I think we realized is like before I was working for you and kind of you and Schlatt as more of like an employee. And then I was kind of doing my own thing a little bit. But then this, it was like we were working together on a project. And then I think that was really affecting our friendship dynamic. And it was just becoming like business.
Yeah,
partners.
We basically only talked to each other when it was time to like work.
Time to work.
Like,
yeah.
Like, well, let's also talk about another aspect of that, though, was that in January of 2025, the month that on the trip that Tucker was coming out to film, do the photo shoot and all of the branding stuff.
Yeah, before episode one ever aired, I think.
Yeah, I was notified, and I'm so proud of this. I was the first to find out of any person, along with my friend Devin, who was staying with me at the time.
Love that.
Was that Emma was pregnant, which was phenomenal. Obviously, that's incredible. And Tucker's a father now. The child is like,
he's about to be 6 months old.
He has a soul now. It's crazy. I mean, but the thing is that's a major life-changing event that is possibly the worst possible scenario to start a larger content business in which you need to travel a lot. You know?
The having to go to LA or you having to come here and deconflict with me and my pregnant wife was very challenging.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you don't want to talk about money, but Chuckle was a truffle pig. And Trouble Take It Easy is a starter podcast, essentially. So there isn't the funds to do so many autonomous projects, kind of.
Yeah. Tucker, you know, Take It Easy makes money. Don't get me wrong. Take It Easy makes money, and we've got the ads, and we do all that. But the fact of the matter is that Tucker also has to...
I've been hustling.
You know, Tucker also is working other jobs to do this.
May of last year, I got a full-time landscaping gig working for this company, which all of you probably know that. Working for a company nearby, because we also in January of last year, we announced we're pregnant and we moved to a different state.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a lot of life, and we started this Take It Easy business. So there was like a lot of life-changing events happening all at once. Then, you know, Take It Easy was like, okay, it's making money, but for us to be comfortable, I need to be working full-time somewhere else, which I did. And then this winter, I was working nights, and now I've started my own business. Which, well, also kind of like carried on my dad's legacy, but which is taking off. I'm swamped.
So now it's, and I think the thing is too, when it comes to the general idea of what this podcast is, like I think, like at least me personally, I've enjoyed podcasting in the time that I have. Like when, you know, we started Chuckle Sandwich in 2021.
How old were you?
I had been...
We're 23?
23. I'm 28 now.
Vastly different places. Vastly different places.
It doesn't feel too different. I mean, for you, it definitely is. But for me, it's not. Yeah.
I guess
there's not too much.
When I was 23, I was freshly out of the Marine Corps.
I still am a YouTuber living in L.A., making content. And
yeah,
not much,
I guess you really haven't grown at all. I'm just kidding.
If that's how you want to view it, I mean, and I had been doing, you know, I had been on a podcast before that too. In the grand scheme of things, I have been podcasting at this point now for 6 years.
Yeah.
And this isn't me saying I'm quitting content or anything like that, but in terms of podcasting, I've been with the exception of like maybe 5 or 6 months, maybe along that 6 years, there's been like breaks of doing podcasts. And so I think it's just one of those things where, at least on my side, having done this for so long, doing a thing every week where you're just kind of talking, I think that it's also been kind of tough for me because I've always wanted to have an in-person podcast, and doing it on online has always been a little bit of a bummer.
And the original intention was to do it more in person, but life just became too difficult to coordinate that. And that's very expensive to do too. And even with Chuckle, like that had three of us, it was hard to line all that up to do more than a bulk recording.
Yeah.
And so,
I think that like where we stand with these things is like my situation is that at a certain point, maybe towards the fall with Take It Easy, Tucker and I had a conversation where I was like, I'm tired of doing this for so long.
And I was like, I'm tired too.
Yeah.
Cause I jumped into Chuckle in 2021 as just an editor.
Yeah.
And it wasn't on the show, but I was in the background running the clips. And then you slowly just worked me into basically being a third member.
Yeah.
And then also like starting Twitch and starting my own YouTube.
Yeah. Basically, I was grooming Tucker.
Yeah, Ted was grooming me big time, which was great. I mean, I enjoyed a lot of it. It helped carry me through a transitionary period in my life. I'm very thankful for the fans that I had, especially on Twitch, because Twitch, I was doing pretty well on Twitch.
And
for a while.
And you'll do a little bit of Twitch every now and then, too.
I would love to be able to do more Twitch. If I had another day in the week, I would do Twitch on there, because especially I have some friends that do it, and I really enjoyed my chatters. YouTube, I really tried on YouTube. I think I definitely had like a good out the gate thing for. I had out the gate views that people would die for. Not to sound like egotistical, I was just connected with you and Schlatt, but I mean that I didn't vibe with as much. But Twitch, I really liked.
60 to 80. One of those it got like all like did one of those get like 100,000 views or something? Or
my first like video.
Yeah, that's
it's
good.
Like 100K. Yeah, and then my lowest is like 50.
Yeah, that's
which
that's
is very
phenomenal.
Good I mean, for your first. Yeah, I was getting between 50 and 100K views on my four or five videos I uploaded, but that it felt. I don't know. YouTube didn't feel as authentic or as organic of an industry.
Can we also
for me.
Just say, by the way, we're not, none of this is us like complaining or like,
I'm just telling you.
I'm saying in terms of the whole thing, because I'm realizing we're kind of talking about a lot of reasoning. Let me just, I'm just want to be clear that when we're talking about this, we're not like complaining about anything. We're just sort of explaining where our the progression of how we got to this point and like what was our lives are like, and just like, I don't know, because sometimes people are like, oh well, how could you give someone, oh, you're getting 50 to 80k views, but like this is Tucker talking about personally, like, you know, his, because I think one of the things that is interesting about this is that like you and I are we're similar in many ways, but we're very different people, and I pulled you into a world that is maybe not your,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
I think you found it is it's maybe just not your thing.
No, it's not my thing, and I think that's okay. Like, yeah, I had 50 to 100K views, and that wasn't for me. Like, just because you had success doesn't mean the industry's for you. Like, you could make 50 to 100K at a job you don't like. Lots of people do. I'd say most people do.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you have to like it. And it's not like my YouTube was making me money, really.
Yeah.
I was just doing it because I was just kind of following. I was like, I Ted was like, if you were going to do a podcast and you're going to stream, you should try you doing YouTube. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a good shot. But it just isn't, you know, I grew up in a real like blue collar family, which is like kind of was like a joke. And so that's just kind of where my nature leads me. So I was like, I don't know. Yeah. And I was
you
in
like
the Marine
being
Corps,
in the woods.
I like being outside.
You want to be holding worms in your hands and sniffing grass. Tucker quite literally needs to be touching grass in order to have a stable mental health.
I need someone in my life to be harassing me about not wearing enough sunscreen. That if I don't have that, I get antsy. And
yeah,
you know, that's either Ted or it's my mom. Those are really the two people that are up my ass about it.
Well, yeah, because you'll always say like, I don't need sunscreen. I don't need sunscreen. And it's like everyone does.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I know sunscreen's good for you and stuff, and like, yeah, I could use it. But if I'm dripping sweat, like, it's going to be just running off, right? And I don't burn, really. Like, yeah, you're still getting sun, but like, I got kind of some sun this week. But like, once you get that initial, like, burn-in period in, like, May, or the, probably April for me this year, like, you're good. I think you're good. Like, you can't, you don't need it every day. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe you do some, you know, it is what it is. I'm not super concerned. If I look old when I'm old, then so fucking be it.
There you go. Yeah.
We just went over to my in-laws' place for a nice family Easter dinner. Everyone was dressed up so nice, and I realized my six-month-old is dressed better than I am. I've never been one for dressing up nice, and it's time that I get some high-quality staples in my wardrobe. Luckily, that's what Quince does best. Premium fabrics, considered design, and everyday essentials that feel effortless to wear and dependable even as the seasons change. Quince has the everyday essentials that I love with quality that lasts. Lightweight cashmere sweaters, short-sleeve Mongolian cashmere polos, linen bottoms and shorts, tees in 100% Prima cotton and European jersey linen, versatile pieces that make a wardrobe actually work season to season. And the cashmere is 100% Mongolian, the same stuff luxury brands use. The Pima cotton is long stapled, which means it stays soft and it doesn't pill. And the European jersey linen is breathable and lightweight. Everything is built to hold up to regular wear and still look good. And Quince works directly with top factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're not paying for brand markups or fancy retail stores. Just quality clothing. And their clothing gets rated nothing but 4.5 and 5 stars by thousands of people wearing it every day. Plus, they only partner with factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. And I love Quince. I personally bought Emma an amazing Christmas gift, this beautiful down comforter for our bed this past year. So I'm actually one to use their products genuinely in my free time, and we love it. It's like the best thing we ever did to our bedroom was get a Quince down comforter. And I actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I have a 100% cashmere sweater from Quince that I love to wear. It's a great, like, not formal, but like a nicer dinner kind of fit, and usually it's like $150. Quince sold it to me for $60, so that's a steal. And it's so high quality, like, you're going to get a lot of use out of this. It's going to last a long time. And that's the beauty of Quince, is you're getting high quality products that you would typically get at a luxury store for half the price of what they would be. You know, because there's no middlemen, the prices are affordable. Everyday Joes like you and me can afford it. And it makes all of us look good on a budget. So stop overcomplicating your wardrobe. You don't need a full closet of options. You need a few pieces that actually work for you. Right now, go to quince.com/takeiteasy for free shipping and 365-day returns. That's a full year to build your wardrobe and love it. And you will. And it's now available in Canada, too. Don't keep settling for clothes that don't last. Go to quince.com/takeiteasy for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/takeiteasy. Thanks to Quince for sponsoring this episode. Now let's get back to it.
Yeah, but
yeah, where were we?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what are we even talking about? We're just talking about why.
We're just talking about life. Like, why?
We're talking about life, why this is ending. I think.
And you're ready to pursue, like, your YouTube channel as your main focus, because that's your bread and butter.
I think for the, what was interesting about Chuckle and to Take It Easy is that, despite, you know, us having like editors and, you know, for a good portion of Chuckle and the majority of Take It Easy having like people who do like thumbnails and stuff, I mean, for most of Chuckle Sandwich, I was making the thumbnails for every episode and figuring out the titles and figuring out the topic that we were going to do that week. And
you were making at least a day of your work week based
every week,
the podcast.
Sometimes more.
Yeah. Which
sometimes more
up
about the podcast. And, you know, every year that's, you know, I'm spending like
a month,
maybe
out of
almost,
the year.
Maybe almost two, like two month to 2 months out of the year on this
podcasting
stuff. And I think I realized that when it comes to my work and what I want to do for my career, like, I think that the only time that I could ever, if I were to ever do a podcast again, it would have to be very hands off, and I kind of would be like a show up and do it kind of thing, and have a whole team where I don't really need to worry too much about it. But for the time being, I'm not going to have another podcast or another supplementary project. I found for myself is that there's three pillars of things I want to actually pursue. One of them being film, one of them being, YouTube, and then the other being kind of like generally, you know, comedy, but that's something I'm working on more. But I realized that podcasting is not a pillar of something I want to do for the rest of my career, you know? Like, it's not something that it does not bring me the same sort of joy that I get from working on like a film project or a music video or making a well put together, thought out YouTube video. Like,
it's not as creatively engaging for you, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like your YouTube videos, you have so much creative control and potential with the editing and the shot choice. And it's almost more like a small film. Whereas podcasting is more of like a talk show, which some people are great at that and they totally excel. But I think we learn that that's not where we excel, and that's okay. We'll just go put more effort into what we think we excel at.
Yeah, yeah. And so you guys may have already noticed this. Like for my, like I posted a video on my main channel. If you follow me on Instagram, you've seen I've been looking for editors that I'm going to be working with, which I've already hired a bunch of editors for that on my main channel and second channel. I was hiring, I'm still in the process of doing that, but hiring content ideation and feasibility researchers. I've got like two videos in the pipeline already that are going to be going out on my second. Like basically I'm focusing on my actually posting videos for the first time in like on a consistent basis for the first time in 6 years, or for the first time in like, I mean the most of my
career
really. And like, it's been fun, and I've always enjoyed having projects with other people and doing, operating in like a duology or a trio or whatever, or in a group thing. But I don't know. I think I've just never really tried to just work on my own thing as my main only focus ever, really, in the last 6 years.
And I hadn't really either, because
yeah.
I transitioned from the Marine Corps basically right into college and working for you.
Yeah.
And yeah, take it easy for the last year. We were working like jointly, I wasn't working for you like with Chuckle and stuff, but I never have just been like a solo endeavor up until the past couple months here.
Right. And like, I guess even when we're working in kind of like a duo, like obviously we both had 50% ownership of Take It Easy. It was probably to a degree you like kind of came into this world because I pulled you into it. Whereas like something like landscaping and that whole and like nature and fucking working with wildlife and all that, that's like something that like you know so concretely and is like
that's where I was natural, like my natural trajectory was into that and your natural trajectory was into this, but then I was like detoured into it, and not maliciously. You were having a blast making good money, enjoying life. You were like, hey, come do this with me. I was like, all right, I got nothing else going on. It's a good college job.
Yeah.
And it worked really well while I was in college. Emma was in college. It was very easy, remote, good hours, and it was fun. But now it's like, you know,
you got kids.
I got a family now, and I'd like to be able to support them and enjoy the work and be like naturally good at the work that I'm doing. Because a lot of people, I don't want to sound arrogant, but a lot of people both in the industry and outside the industry are like, wow, you're really good at streaming. You're really good at YouTube. Like, these are really good. And I was like, thanks. Yeah, they're good. But I don't feel like they're authentically good almost. Like, I felt like I was just copying everyone else on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't like, oh, let me make this from my heart.
To be fair, to your credit, I mean, to a degree, when you first start out, you kind of have to, you will naturally go to what people that you watch for a while until you find your own voice. That is a very natural way for,
yeah,
like, someone to learn how to create.
But, like, I would have never made a video on YouTube unless it was, like, you getting me into the industry and being like, you should try this.
Right.
Like, if we had never met or whatever, I would have never made a YouTube video.
Right, sure.
But yeah. I was always interested. Like, I was always saying back in the day, like, when I was in the Marines, like, funny too, because teach me to edit.
I mean, and that the YouTube stuff has always kind of been a part of our friendship too, because one of the first times that Tucker and I actually hung out, he, like, one-on-one on Skype, gaming together, he was helping me record a YouTube video for when I was trying to make gaming videos back when I was Jibber Dad. And it was like this game where you basically just like shoot.
It was like Dino D-Day, right? Or something like that.
I don't think it was Dino D-Day. It was something else. It was like,
it was a Ryan Dino Storm or something. Here, I bet it's on my Steam.
It was some sort of thing where you basically just are, you're just trying to shoot dinosaurs. You're just shooting dinosaurs with
a,
like,
Ryan Prelude. Last played February 22nd, 2014. That was probably the recording night.
That was February 22nd, 2014. Wow. So 12 years, yeah.
Yeah, and that was back then. Not that YouTube's not cool now or whatever. Back then, YouTube was like so, I mean, it was blowing up with like Markiplier and who was that guy that Captain Sparkles, and who was the other guy? C-Nanners, like.
I've told Mark this once a long time ago, not like recently, like when I've seen him recently, but I had met him at PAX East, which is actually, PAX East is happening right now, but I had met him at PAX East like 2013 or something. Well, no, wait, we must have been friends.
I was with you, I think, and you were talking this guy.
So we must have been friends before, because I swear to you that Dino game was pretty early in our friendship. Like, it was like very early.
Was that the same PAX that you met Freddie Wong?
We might have played it again. We might have played that game again. It was the same PAX, I think.
I didn't go to that PAX with you, but I think we were like loosely friends.
Maybe I just went with Moses then.
Yeah, and maybe some other kids too a little bit. There was one that you went to, but we weren't like close enough. Like, I was like, oh, that looks cool. I'd go to that next year. But I wasn't like bummed that I didn't get invited, because I was like, oh, that's not my guy.
I remember one year I went with Moses, and he got us free passes because he was cosplaying The Division when it wasn't even out.
Normal fucking clothes, really. Just winter clothing.
No, I mean, it was like his airsoft clothing, really. But it got us free passes to the PAX East. And at the time, that was like the craziest fucking thing I could ever hear of. Like, the concept of something being free.
Well, I remember.
The concept of PR and things being free in that way was like remarkable to me. It was remarkable.
It was remarkable to me. And that was a huge part of why the YouTube thing when you first were starting out was so cool.
Right.
Because it was so foreign. It was like,
I had access to there was like this.
Like, you got me The Witcher
for
free.
When I was really young. Yeah. When I was really young, there was this, I was connected to some other like gaming YouTubers that were like, one guy had like 10,000 subscribers, and I was like, holy shit, he's got so many fucking subs. And you know, I was like asking him for tips, and he was like, oh, well, if you're looking for games, you could sign up for this. It was like this PR thing website that I still have the login to, where it's not as good now, but back in the day, there were like full on AAA games that would be like, request a key to this game. And you could, and you'd put your YouTube channel in, and then it would be like, all right, here you go. And it would give you they'd give you a key, and I would request more than one. And so I got Tucker The Witcher 3. I think I also got us Dying Light.
Yeah, you did. And we played the hell out of Dying Light. Mm-hmm. And
The Witcher.
The Witcher 3 on Steam, which you bought me. I always tell everybody, Ted got this game for
it's
me.
It's not on Steam. It's on GOG.
My Witcher is on Steam. You probably could have redeemed it on either.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now.
I feel like
now.
It was all, like that's the one game I have on GOG because I thought it was like only a GOG related.
Oh, I redeemed mine on Steam. I got 115 hours on that save that you got me. And I remember that. I was like, that's a $60 game. That was a real deal game. The Witcher was about as real of a game as
and in high school.
In high school, I was
not,
like,
that's not fucking around. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that the games have only increased by like a, like to like $70 to $80 from $60 back then is kind of crazy.
There was, if you look at game price history on the NES days back then, some games were like adjusted for inflation and stuff, really expensive. And then they kind of got really cheap around like the Xbox 360. And now I would say video games are priced kind of, I mean, money is weird right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would say video games are maybe not reasonably priced for their quality, but if they're reasonably priced when you adjust for inflation.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get like 300 hours out of a video game to price it at $70 or $80 is not crazy. That's not crazy. Because if you think about like, that is like a dinner for one.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like a nice dinner for one.
Yeah, no, video game pricing is weird. But like some games like Stray, I was willing to pay a lot for Stray because it was like a piece of art almost.
Mm.
Like I probably paid $40 or $50 and it's only like a 5 or 6 hour game. But I was like, this is so cool that I'm willing to pay for it. So there's like an artistic component too, at least for me. Because some people on Reddit, the PC master race will be like, the dollars to price ratio on this isn't worth it. Don't buy. Like, is that all you think about? Your life must be so fucking gray.
The way I used to go about it was that like, if I can get an hour per dollar I pay for the game, then it's worth it, you know?
Yeah.
But then like, for some games that doesn't work. For like something like, I definitely didn't play BioShock Infinite for
60 hours
no, or something.
No, 15 hours.
Great game though. It's a great game though. It's a great game, and I remember that.
Yeah,
I love BioShock Infinite. Remember that?
You were obsessed with that. That was one of your like. It's a great game, but you were when you beat BioShock Infinite, you loved talking about BioShock Infinite.
I did. Yeah. That was a very.
You convinced. I played it because you were so into it.
And did you? And you liked it?
Yeah, it was good. You know, I've tried to play BioShock 1 and 2, or just 1, so many times.
Yeah, I haven't played the first two. I haven't played the first two just because it's like...
I'm sure they're related somehow, but it's like...
Well, it's in the same world, but the one of them is like about a fucking city under the water. One's in the sky, you know? But I don't know. I think it just... Some games are just like, you know that they're good, but like... It's almost like it just became before my time, and I don't know. Part of me just feels like...
I wish I could be like 17 in 2007 when BioShock 1 came out because I bet it would have hit so hard. But the thing is like it's like a 12, 15 hour game I think and it's hard.
It's a great title too.
Oh, BioShock, yeah. And it's such a cool setting.
Yeah.
That's a game I haven't beaten, I respect it.
It's the same reason why people like the Fallout setting so much. I feel like you choose an aesthetic and I think that with BioShock instead of the 50s retrofuturism, they chose steampunk-esque sort of steampunk-esque world fair sort
it's
of
like Art Deco.
Art underwater. Deco. Art Deco. It was like Art Deco steampunk, but then also like sort of just what if the things that these fucking crack jobs were talking about societies that they would make at like the 1890s world fair became a reality.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a really good way to put it.
You know,
I respect BioShock.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a cool game. I don't know. For some reason I never get through it.
And they reference it in, there was Infinite? Like a dimensional aspect to it. Maybe it was a different dimension it happened in the BioShock universe. But because when you're towards the end of Infinite, when you're jumping through these dimensions that Elizabeth was making, you end up for a moment you're like fighting that big bird thing and you end up underwater.
Yeah, you're right. It's like a little Easter egg.
You go to that fucking thing, and then I think that's where the bird thing dies, is because it's underwater.
Yeah. That was a 360 PS3 like powerhouse of a franchise.
Oh, yeah.
They did really well. And they really haven't touched it.
It'll be hard for... Because it's so funny how it's like, I just don't feel like, obviously Xbox is out, you know, these days.
Yeah, they're done.
Sorry to say, Xbox lovers, it's out. But like, it'll be interesting how we look back on the PS5. Because I just think that the PS5 has no games thing will just be, or I guess it's less associated. There's less of a, I think the console war is kind of over in a little bit. And
there's
so,
like at least a lull in the fighting.
And there were just so many games that were so heavily associated with the Xbox 360 era, you know?
Well, the PS4, I feel like, was a big PlayStation has games now. Because of, like, God of War, The Last of Us kind of really got big on that.
Yeah. And you know what? There was a bit of a transitional period, too. Because there's a lot, you're talking about the original God of Wars, right?
No, I'm talking about, like, the reboot.
2018. So it's funny. I played that on the PS5.
I did too. But we didn't. PS4 sold a lot of units. We didn't have PS4s, so it was
So when we got the PlayStation 5, I like it how we're just going on a whole fucking gaming conversation. Yeah.
Well, about the episode before we got on this. You were talking games.
Yeah, we were talking games and Stellaris, about how I got Well, yeah, I was, because I'm really into Stellaris right now. Well, I go through Stellaris is one of those games where I could boot that shit up and play it whenever. I feel like that's a forever game, you know.
I got rant.
Okay,
so we've been playing.
We gotta give them a little bit of podcasting. This is the last episode. This is their last time you guys are gonna hear us. Other than videos on my channel, this is probably the last time you're gonna hear us podcast like this. So,
yeah, that's kind of weird when you say it like that. It just sounds so, finite. Anyway, I've been playing a lot of Minecraft with my family. We've been playing Bedrock. And I don't know if it's Bedrock thing. We're playing on hard because we're not pussies. Although there is some protest about it, but I stand firm.
You're playing on hard mode?
Yeah. Not hardcore, but just hard. And I don't know if it's a Bedrock thing, but it is brutally difficult. It is brutal. I've never played Minecraft this hard. And so...
Really? Is it the skeletons?
It's everything, dude. It's everything. If you're not wearing good armor, like if you're not wearing iron armor at least, you are just fucked. You're fucked so fast.
Really?
Like if you die to...
I've never played Minecraft Bedrock before, but I know that there are like little differences.
Yeah, the combat is basic. You just spam. There's no like that weird like hit loading and then wait. Yeah, it's just like the old combat.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you die outside your house at night and you lose all your shit, but it's, like, right there, like, a skeleton killed you, and you try to sprint and grab it, like, you're not going to get it. Because they're going to kill you. Like, doesn't matter how good you are at sprinting and jumping and dodging, they're going to kill you. And so, last night, it was two nights ago, we go into the Nether for the first time. Because we got some brewing stands from, like, Megan raided a village. She took them. And I was like, oh, sweet. Let's start making potions.
She took them.
So I was like, oh, sweet. We can start doing potions. We set up this whole like alchemy station. She's never done it. She was so excited. I was like, shit, we need the nether wart to like really do anything. So I was like, all right, let's go in the nether.
You gotta find the fucking bridges. I don't know what to call it.
Fortress,
like stronghold,
the fortress?
Stronghold. A fortress. There you go.
I don't know. The fucking bricks place.
The stronghold's where the end portal is.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Yeah. I'm not fluent in Minecraft. I'm fluent till like 2012. So anyway, we go in there, dude. We didn't make it 200 yards from that portal.
What?
It was
really?
Like, yeah. Well, the piglins turned on me, and the fucking gas. The gas.
Oh, you weren't wearing gold.
Oh, you have to wear gold to like disguise?
You have to wear gold on your body somewhere in order to not piss off the piglins.
See, I didn't know that because that's
the zombie pigmen, they're they're the passive aggressive ones, like wolves, where if you hit them, then they'll attack you. The piglins, they are like
followers of the gold.
They're followers of the gold. So if you're not wearing gold, then they are upset with you or something.
I didn't know that. So they're fucking swarming my ass.
And they got they got guns too.
Yeah. And the gas are might as well be fucking B-52s, dude. Just bombing the fuck out of us, dude. It's like I'm running for the portal. Like I'm like
get
they
to
start
the
bombing. Yeah.
Get
they
to
start
the portal.
Yeah. And I was like, Emma and
like
I are playing
Normandy, dude.
It was, dude. Emma and I are playing split screen, right? She's never been to the Nether because somehow she's never played Minecraft. God bless her. And I'm like, she's like, what do we do? I'm like, don't hit the piglins because I assumed it was the old way. I was like, they'll turn on us if we hit them. So just don't hit them. And she was like,
yeah, they're separate. Yeah, they're separate entities.
Now, I didn't know that the piglins were like followers of the gold or whatever. So I get in there and I'm like doing my thing. I'm mining some quartz and all of a sudden the piglins are fucking charging me. There's like four of them fucking coming. I'm like, oh shit, Emma. They're on me. They're on me. And she's like, I don't know what to do. Like, she like chooses not to help me. And they fucking slaughter my ass. They slaughter my ass. She's booking it back to the portal. I'm like, look over at her like, how could you fucking do that to me? We were in there together. We get in a big fight. We're on Discord with my family. I'm getting in like a real argument with her. I'm pissed.
You're getting a real argument with Emma?
Yeah, because I'm like, dude, I got fucking diamonds and shit on. Like, I got good picks. I got all my stuff. I thought we were going
it's
in
funny,
there. It's
funny, because you're joking. You sound jokey right now, but I'm trying to imagine what you would have actually said, like, made as
pissed.
Your argument.
I was angry.
This is kind of like when you got killed a couple times by my
I rage quit that night. I was like, I'm fucking done. I quit Minecraft. We went to bed mad.
You went to bed
I kept
mad.
Going in there. I kept going in there. I couldn't get to my stuff because the gas were dropping fucking bombs on me. They were so effective.
This is really funny. When did you guys make up over this?
You know, I don't know, like the next day kind of, but like
did you apologize?
I don't know. I might have. Life's tough right now. Let's not get into it, but it was a bad moment. It was a bad moment. And Minecraft on bedrock on
that's
hard.
So
go
funny.
Into the Nether, you will get fucked up. Like, you need to have diamond armor. You need to be fucking ready. Oh, apparently you need to have gold armor. You got to be ready when you go in there because it is brutal. The gas, if your Nether portal's in like an open space like ours, God bless you. God help you. Because they're just like, you try to hit one back, you miss, you're fucking dead. It's
Jesus.
Like...
Are you going there with no armor? What did you have?
Well, I'm a sprinting back in there. Like, oh, I'll just sprint in, grab my stuff that fell, and I'll get out.
Well,
like,
what did you go in there originally with?
I've got my diamond pick. I've got, like, a diamond sword. Like, I just got, like, normal shit.
Do you have armor?
I'm wearing iron armor, full iron. Mm. You know, normally that'll get you by, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't have brought, for a first Nether journey, I wouldn't have brought my diamond tools.
I know. I mean, I eventually did get them. And once I got them out of the Nether, I was like, all right, that's it. I'm done. I'm getting offline. And then today I went and did the same thing. I went back. I made my armor. I went back in. And I was like, we got to get that Nether wart. I go in, the gas fucking lit me on fire. The piglins are coming. I'm like in the portal. I'm burning. I'm like standing in the portal like, come on, teleport me back. And it's like doing the fade out of the Nether thing.
Yeah.
And like you're hearing the sound. And as it does it, I die from the gas. Fucking direct headshot from one of those bombs. I was like, no! And then I go up to the portal. My stuff made it through. It came
all
out the
it?
Other end. Yeah.
Wow.
So I go up to, I was like,
yeah, that's
oh
what I
my.
Assumed was going to happen.
Oh, I'd never had that happen. It was like,
yeah,
whoa.
Dude, I'm like, when it comes to Minecraft, like when I'm making a Minecraft fucking world thing, like I'm making the fucking Nether highways, you know, like.
Oh,
I'm,
you're the guy. Ted's got the whole Nether fucking Interstate I-90 up there. Fucking, it's got ice.
I didn't know that was something you could do until S&P Live. Like that was something I learned through S&P Live. I was like, whoa, this is like a great idea because there's like a whole fucking ceiling to the Nether and there's also a whole fucking floor to it that you can just dig into, and as long as you're just, you know, there's the occasional pocket of lava that you have to just like cover up, but like most of the time it's like you can just make a whole fucking system down there.
Yeah, no, and see if
that's
you
the one I wish that it didn't exist though in a weird way.
Well, yeah, because it kind of like takes away the,
because it's really good for getting very far distances. Don't get me wrong. Like you can get thousands and thousands of blocks out because you're every time, like you might as well, like if you have like a super good pick, you know, Netherrack is like butter. It's like a hot knife through butter. And then like literally like, brrr, and then you can basically run. And then if you just have the materials to make another nether port, you're essentially just running eight times as fast as you normally would in the overworld.
Yeah, and a straight line too.
Yeah, in a straight line. And so you can get, that's how I was like in one of our realms that we did, I think I did a thing where I got us like 20,000 block. I got made one with like 20,000 blocks out and I found this awesome. I just like going and just like finding cool stuff out far out. Like it's just kind of fun to explore into the distance just to find like a good. But the thing is like once you get so far, then it like takes a while to even travel to it in the nether. So it becomes like a, well, now it's a pain in the ass.
Is bedrock, what's it called? Infinite, or are there far lands?
Well, it's built differently, so it's not going to degrade in the same way that the Java would. That's the whole reason that they made Bedrock, I think, is because it was like the Java construction wasn't as good for doing a lot. Like it wasn't as an easy thing to build off of. They still do it, obviously, because I think that would kill the game if they didn't. But
This is 8 years old, this info. But it says it's about plus or minus 12.5 million blocks, which Java is plus or minus 30 million blocks.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure both are, you know, for the average Joe, infinite.
Yeah, dude. I mean, basically, now imagine that to the power of 1,300,000.
Is this going to be that book or whatever?
And it's filled with chests, each has a chest. Every block in that has a chest that has a book in it, a book and quill in it. And you have to find the book and quill that says the story of your life. And it's to the power of 1,300,000.
I'll have to go searching for my story.
Horrifying. It's such a horrifying. You got to read that book though. It's not scary. Well, it just makes you, but God, do not read it when you're high.
That would be upsetting for you
specifically. That I think would kill you. Like, I don't think you would kill yourself. I think that if you were just high and were reading this, your brain would think so hard about it that you would just die. I think you would just sell this, like you would short circuit.
Yeah, when I first started entering the illusion, I did have a time I got too existential, too deep, and it fucked me up for like a full week. Like, I felt like I was fucked up for like a week. It was very odd. And I think it almost permanently altered me. Which is kind of weird to think about. But yeah, I really like existential weird stuff. Like Vsauce. I never really thought that, Vsauce is an existential kind of question YouTuber. I was just like, I just love Vsauce. But Emma was like, I don't want to watch this tonight. It's so like existential dread. And I was kind of like, oh yeah. All his videos are like existential questions. But I love it. I love it.
Yeah. And we should probably just say more things about why the podcast is ending.
Oh yeah. We've just been having like a normal conversation.
Yeah. We've just been having a normal conversation. And okay. I think that also the thing is that, obviously, if you can read numbers, you also know that Take It Easy does not perform nearly as well as Chuckle Sandwich did. That's just a simple fact. And I think that there are plenty of ways in which both of us could work to make sure that the podcast did better and to grow it and stuff like that. Like we could, you know, hire like person to do shorts and like do like a whole bunch of stuff to like grow the business. But I think what we realized is that at a certain moment, we just like realized that, okay, well, if we're neither of us are really enjoying this right now, and it's becoming most of the way that we enter, like a lot of times before we do a podcast, Tucker and I will like talk for like 2 hours before we actually record the podcast. And yeah, that usually, if we're speaking transparently, is a little bit more enjoyable than doing the podcast itself.
The podcast has like a pressure, like, you know, the camera, well, my camera's on when we talk usually, but it's like you guys are watching now. So it has to have a certain tempo, and it has to have, which is like, maybe you guys don't want that illusion broken for you, but that's how all content is. But
yeah, I mean, I would say that in a lot of the episodes on Take It Easy, we have been much chiller in comparison to something like Chuckle. I feel like I was a lot more
on. Chuckle had Chuckle. A higher tempo for sure.
One, with us, it's like a lot of times we're just kind of like saying shit. I think a lot of time the pressure is about us having a topic that we can title it and thumbnail in a way that will do well, and for it to not perform as well as Chuckle. After Chuckle, it's just like, I don't know. It's hard to, you know, to be transparent, it's hard to avoid that being something that kind of, you know, bothers you a little bit when it happens. But
I also think that a part of a podcast that draws people to watch it is the people on it being really relevant to a large audience, and which you have a good audience. I don't have an audience really. Yeah, there are those lovely few of you who watch my Twitch and watch my videos, but not large enough to warrant a podcast, especially not these days where I'm pretty much offline. Like, I'm not doing anything to help bring in people. And for a while, that's part of the reason I was doing YouTube and really leaning on Twitch was, well, first I had the time. I was like, I'm going to dedicate this time to do this, whether it's profitable or not, whether it makes me happy or not, I'm going to try my hardest to like pull my weight in terms of like bringing in new fans. And I think that there's just, I'm a long, if I were to continue the YouTube Twitch route, I would still be a long way off from warranting someone having a podcast that is a successful business and which has employees and all that and is like relevant to people. Because I think, and no one's going to listen to a podcast that they're like, oh, who is this person? You only go to a podcast in which you know the person.
Well, a lot of people knew you from Chuckle.
Yeah, but like, that's it. Like, they know me from working on a podcast. Like, what's my relevancy in terms of who I am as a person?
Well, okay. Like, but to also, to your credit, there are people who have found me or Schlatt or Charlie. Did you see that?
Yeah, you just got a sign.
That was weird. Do you know what's funny too? Is that for a while that I thought it was in this moment, it just says plant video on it. For a while that said Take It Easy on it. So I was like,
that would have been weird.
Did the thing that said Take It Easy on it just fall? Audio listeners, love you to death. Maybe the last time I ever say that. There's this slate behind me that fell in the background. That was weird. Was
like, if you ever make merch for your own just channel or person, you should make an audio listeners love you to death.
I made a love you to death shirt.
Well, or just make something that just says audio listener, because it's just kind of a funny term.
Yeah.
And that's your thing. And I think people would go for that, even that aren't Chuckle related. That's just like a funny thing, like audio listener. And you could just have it on like a vinyl and it could just say audio listener.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know why I originally did that?
To boost the audio numbers.
I did that originally. If you guys,
I did from that way back.
It's something I did at the beginning of the podcast. There was a literal reason behind it, which was obviously it was a fun thing to say and it was a fun thing to have like a callback to. But the initial reason was I was just wanting to give some love to the audio listeners because I wanted to have an audio audience for a podcast. So I just wanted to recognize them every time so that they would feel recognized, you know? And also, you know, when physical things happen, it's hard with a podcast, you know, but, what were we just saying? We were saying something else.
My schedule for the podcast too, like whether I'm enjoying the podcast or not enjoying the podcast is kind of irrelevant, because my schedule these days is I wake up at around 7, I go to work by 8, and I get home at around 6, and then it's like, okay, make dinner slash put the kid to bed with the family, and I'm like, I want to be in bed at like 9, because I'm exhausted. So there isn't really time to do that, and like today, we're recording this on Friday, and I'm working tomorrow and Sunday, as well as all of next week. So it's like, there just isn't time in my life to be doing any kind of content, really. Like, to the point where Derek and Domo are hitting me up to stream. They're like, when can we schedule a stream with you? I'm like, dude, I would love to, man, but I don't know. I'm rocked right now. I'm rocked with work. So yeah. You just got to bear with me here, because I'm trying to provide for my family.
Yeah, so, and so with Tucker being so busy, and for us to use the small amount of time that Tucker has right now to just to make content and do a podcast when we could just be keeping in like, obviously we started because it was like, okay, we want to do a thing that's like, and I remember when we first started, we were like, we could just do this indefinitely. I went into this podcast sort of in my head, I guess, thinking that it would be like less work than Chuckle was.
We get some comments that, and there was one of you, I'm sure you're listening because you were leaving a hateful comment on every single episode, which you're fucking nuts. And I'm glad to be done with you. Let's say that out loud.
You're definitely done with annoying comments.
Especially this one, I responded to you because I was so sick of your shit. You're acting like this is, you just sit here, record, and it's done. That is not as easy. It is not as easy as that to produce a piece of content that reaches an audience.
And this is, to be fair, this is coming from a good type of person to be saying this too, because, you work a blue collar job and like,
yeah, like take it easy requires a lot of time. And when we were still constantly falling short of deadlines, of production goals, of everything, basically, like we openly fell short of so much, and it still takes a lot of time, a lot of coordination, lots of back and forths, lots of emails, lots of connecting with advertisers, connecting with managers, connecting with all these people all the time. And while also I'm working a full-time job, Ted's working for himself. Like, there's so much that goes into making a podcast that's, let's just say, as small as Take It Easy, with the limited resources too that Take It Easy has. Because Take It Easy is almost like a podcast that it kind of breaks even. So there isn't the resources to outsource everything. Which, like a show like Joe Rogan, right? Like, he probably walks in, records, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he probably is like, I want to do this guest, or maybe he interacts with the guest, but that's maybe he puts more effort in. But for example, like a very high level podcast, it's all taken care of. Everything's taken care of, right?
Right.
But he's just on camera.
Yeah. So, but I think that there are things that, you know, I'm proud of certain things that we did with Take It Easy too. Let me just say, like, I'm damn proud of the fucking branding that we did for Take It Easy. I think that turned out really well. I'm very proud of the theme song that Oval put together for Take It Easy. I think that's, you know, I think it's a great theme song. I think it's a very nice nostalgic tune.
You worked pretty hard on that.
And I'm glad that we were able to, you know, do certain things like with the Patreon, like the highest tier Patreon members, we were able to, you know, send out the postcards of every holiday throughout the year. That was really cool that we were able to do something like that. I'm definitely bummed I wasn't able to fulfill my end of the bargain with the Dr. Ted stuff. That was probably the biggest bummer for me.
We did not get to fulfill all of our reality recaps, which we tried really hard, but once Emma got so pregnant, it was just not happening. And our baby is very difficult. He's 6 months. I mean,
that's so funny. Dude, the way that you were like saying that, you were like trying to find a charitable way to talk about your own child, where you were like, this child,
he
is a fucking nightmare. Well, is what
I
you're
just don't
want to
sound like.
Well, the subtext like, is there is what was funny about that.
Because the client I just did a full job for this week, they have a 3-month-old daughter, and their tenant that lives in the house next door has a 3-week-old. And we know lots of babies and stuff. And our son is about to be 6 months old. He has never slept more than 2 hours straight. Ever. So.
What? I thought, yeah. No. Well, okay. He slept all night that one time I was there.
No. He like slept, yeah, but he still wakes up every 2 hours and needs to be put back to sleep.
Oh.
Like, yeah, we're going to try to put him back to sleep, and he'll get 8 hours of sleep, but you are waking up every 2 hours to get him back to sleep.
That's so interesting. And you were saying that this is what Emma was like when she was a baby?
Yeah, this is what she was like. It's genetic, I think. But, like, the client where Emma walked, because it was in town, so Emma walked over and introduced herself too, and they're talking, and she was like, oh, your kid is still doing that? And her baby's 3 months. So that Emma is really struggling as would be expected.
Yeah, for 6 months to deal with that is.
Yeah, and the last month of pregnancy is not a comfortable one either. So she's had about 7 straight months of like horrible sleep. So she's struggling a lot. And she was my co-host on that. And. Because, like, up until the past couple weeks, we weren't getting him to get naps that were more than 20 minutes. So we can't record an hour plus, let's say, 30 minutes of put up and takedown with, you know what I mean? So it's like, and we really wanted to, like, when Traders started, we even put out a thing that was like, start watching Traders, because we genuinely thought we were going to be able to do it, and he would not allow it. She's texting me right now and said she just tried to put him in his crib because he's been sleeping in our bed, so we're trying to transition him to his own crib, which is essentially in like a huge closet next attached to our room. It's our nursery, but it's like a big closet essentially. And
that's gonna be.
She
so
said
difficult.
He just cried for 45 minutes straight, when she's trying to do the crib, because that's like our goal this week is to try to do the crib every night. He cried for 45 minutes straight, and he fell asleep as soon as she picked him up. So that's the relationship right now, is like he won't sleep unless he's like in her arms. So that's, which I know a lot of sassy commenters and younger people like aren't going to get it. And I understand you're not going to get it, but that's what we're dealing with. And it's really difficult. It's far. Yeah. I felt like I was a very prepared person to be a parent. Like, I think all my friends would be like, yeah, he was pretty prepared. Like, he was pretty, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you were as prepared as you can. How can you be prepared for it's just one of those things where it's like you, it's like when you go into a scenario knowing that it's like something's going to, like, I don't know. Like, when you know you're about to, like, fucking have a hard discussion with someone, like, you know that you're going to get upset. But there's nothing that you can do to prevent yourself from getting upset because you know that you're going to be upset. So, like, you go into a situation, you know it's going to be hard, but there's no way to really predict which specific things are going to be the hardest for you in any particular way. You know, it's like, you know, you can know it's going to be hard, but that doesn't prevent the thing from being hard. Like,
yeah, it has been
like
exponentially.
You knowing that something's going to be hard isn't equivalent to the reality of feeling the hard.
Yeah. It's been exponentially harder than I thought it was going to be, especially because he's difficult. And by him being difficult, it means Emma is just drained and at capacity for stuff all the time. And it's just like, wow, we are actually struggling as like a family. Not that, you know, it is what it is, but it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's tough. So that really hurts the podcast, and I'm sorry that it has hurt the podcast, and I appreciate the people that do understand that, because I do see you guys as well in the comments, But to those of you who gave us a hard time, I'm sorry. It is harder than
I don't
you
really
know.
Have an excuse for Dr. Ted, to be honest. Like I had a weird year. But yeah, I don't really have an excuse for Dr. Ted. Dr. Ted was I thought I was making a low tier promise by saying I would only do once a month, and it was like I got one out, and then it was just like it was just hard. It was very hard to keep up with, and you know. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think there was many parts of this podcast we enjoyed doing. You know, we liked chatting with the guests when we had guests on. We liked the whole process of like doing a thing together. We enjoyed doing the game and shit on the Patreon, and like, you know, Emma and Tucker got to make their own show, and like,
yeah, we did have fun doing the,
and so there was a lot of hours of content that we put out that is essentially equivalent to like, you know, the amount of content we put out for Take It Easy is pretty much equivalent to the amount of like the previous two, maybe even 3 years of Chuckle Sandwich.
Yeah, we did put out a lot for our small team. We put out a lot.
Yeah. So I'm definitely proud of what we at least tried to do, you know, and not everything is going to work out. And I think that the one of the tough things when it comes to ending a thing, you know, I've been through the ringer on things ending a lot, you know, a chuckle ended, other things ended, you know what I'm talking about, you know, and I think that the reality is that, you know, we're still alive. But every show that you've ever watched in your entire life has eventually ended other than The Simpsons. So like you just kind of have to, you know, some people are like, oh, I think that sometimes people have a hard time with things ending that they enjoy because then it, you know, it becomes a part of a certain period of their lives. I'm sure that plenty of you felt that way about Chuckle Sandwich because a lot of you were like, hey, you know, Chuckle Sandwich ran for 4 years and you're like, this got me through my entirety of my high school or my college experience. And those are really cool things to hear. And you could certainly view Take It Easy as sort of like the epilogue in some way to Chuckle Sandwich, where it's like, you know, because we obviously didn't, at the time, we didn't really want Chuckle to end, I guess, but we were like, we're not going to force him to fucking stay, you know? Like,
yeah.
And we wanted to try this out on our own. And, you know, we gave it a shot.
I think you and I learned a lot about each other and about our friendship, especially in the second half of Take It Easy. And I think that this was almost like a table in which we could learn. Because I think without that like forced working together, and maybe we wouldn't have had some issues if we weren't doing it, but I think
we definitely butted heads at times over certain things with Take It Easy, which we don't need to get into the specifics of it. But I mean, we worked some things out. I feel like we came to an understanding between each other about the way that our brains are and stuff that, you know, made us become, I hope, closer
stronger
as a result. We're stronger. We've got a stronger marriage now.
Exactly.
Tucker's got two marriages.
Yeah, I do. You know, it's something I'm excited to be able to do is I have limited time, which people are probably sick of hearing me say that. But it's true. And I think married people with kids know. Like, there's not a ton of time in the day to play video games. Because video games are one of the
first
things
on the
chopping
block.
Now the time
that we probably spend on Take It Easy,
we could play a game once a week. And I liked doing the gaming episodes for you guys that are on Patreon. And I intended to.
I think
too,
that for a long time, for a lot of the podcasts, that was the thing that we looked forward to.
Because that was the most organic thing. Is like we first really started hanging out. Oh, video games have been a constant from the moment we met till now. Yeah. So that is kind of like the most, you know, like natural thing for us to do. And I'm excited to be able to do that completely naturally again.
Yeah.
Just be like, let's play a game. Don't have to worry about anything. Don't have to edit it. Let's just play a game.
Yeah. And I'm sure some of you will be in here like, I gotta call out all the comments that I think we'll see, like all the hater comments. There's gonna be people who want to say, "Yeah, I totally saw this coming." There'll be something. Yeah. Someone will say something about like, "Once I knew that Schlatt was out, this I knew this wasn't gonna survive." That person's gonna be definitely commenting.
The Schlatt stands. Oh man, I would if I could. I'd so just funny. Bring them all into a big room and throw a Molotov cocktail on them.
Kill them. Kill him.
And I don't care. I'll say it. I'm out of here. I'm graduating.
Yeah, no, Tucker, you're graduating from content creation now. Well, here's what we'll also say. But we got to talk about the future, you know? Because we've been talking about a lot about why this has been not working. And we should talk about what will work in the future.
For
because
them.
I feel like that is...
For content stuff, or
yeah, for content for our lives, you know. Or I mean, we talked a little bit about how we're gonna game more, but like you, Tucker, what are you gonna what is like the positive things that you're gonna move forward now and do? Because you are doing some pretty cool things.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm running my own landscape business, and right out the gate, I'm doing really well. So I was working for someone else with a lot of a pretty big company as far as landscape goes, a lot of employees.
I was his reference. They called me.
Yeah, they called Ted. They called all my references, which is kind of crazy because it was like not a serious.
Oh man, job. I was slutting myself out for Tucker on that call. I was like, he's the smartest person that's ever walked the face of the planet. He's the most responsible. He's the most honorable man.
And that's why I had to leave and start my own thing, because those kind of people don't work for others for too long. And so yeah, I was doing that, and I was not making that much. And I was making $25 an hour, which I was...
Here's a question. Can I also say, was it weird to be... Even though, like, I run my own business, the concept of you being a manager was very interesting to me. It felt... Because I don't know. I just have never... Like, despite me running my own business and us having run a business together and, like, literally managing people in terms of the people that could work for us... To be hired and given the role of a manager would scare me.
Well, you know what's funny is the woman that hired me is not the person that owns the company. And she was like, oh, yeah, you're going to be a temporary employee or whatever for 2 weeks. And then, yeah, we're going to offer you the manager position.
Oh, you were
and
never
a
manager.
And then the owner was like, oh, she never told you that. And I was like, then how do I know all about the manager perks? Like... Yeah, she did tell me that. That was the offer. She ran me through all of like the benefits. Yeah, and they never gave it to me. But I basically was operating as one, and everyone treated me as one because, you know,
I never heard about this. That's so shitty.
Oh yeah, it's a bummer. And
that makes way more sense. Your view of that company, because up until then I had only really kind of heard good things.
Yeah, so I never got that position, though. They basically just started giving me all of the responsibilities of a manager. But I mean, I was destined to do my own thing. I grew up in the business. So that was kind of just like I learned the area and I learned all of the logistics of the area on where to get things, how to do things here, who does what. And then, yeah, now I'm doing my own thing. During last year, I got a few clients of my own. I was working for them independently. I was making way more money. And now I'm fully independent. I've got work lined up further than I can see at the moment. And I just finished a big job right in town, made good money. I put up flyers everywhere. I put business cards in some of the businesses around town, and I made a few Facebook posts, and I'm getting nonstop calls and emails.
Hell yeah.
So it's cruising. I just dropped $1,500 on a brush cutter and a chainsaw. And
nice. You got a mower?
I've got a brand new mower. I'm picking it up next Monday in New Hampshire. Yeah, so
that's awesome.
I got a lot
moving. It's really going. So Tucker,
I'm moving quick. Yeah, I'm thinking about making my friend who I worked with at the company an offer for as a full time employee.
Should we like? What if we use this opportunity to like promote your business? Because I mean, if there's people in the area,
if you're in Western Massachusetts or like near Hillsdale, New York, or like Canaan, Connecticut. If you live in like the below I-90 in Massachusetts and you're on the border of New York and Connecticut, you can email me and you can get me to come work for like if you have work, I'll work for you. But
talk to your parents. See if they need a landscaper.
If you have to talk to your parents, it probably isn't going to work out.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're an adult
and you need someone to landscape, I would do it. Most likely. I have turned a few people down already, which is kind of fun.
Because it doesn't make sense.
It's just like not worth my time. Like that's just not worth my time. I got too much
for a good reason. For whatever the reason.
Well, yeah, it's like either hire a teenager or something, man. Like that's not worth my time. There's some jobs that
asking to pull weeds.
It's more like just like minor. Like, can you, like this one guy, I'll give you a perfect example. He texts me and he's like, hey, this is my name. This is where I live. You know, I want you to come clean up my yard for the spring, which is totally something I do. I'm like, all right. He's like, just drive by my house and take a look. So the other morning, 8 a.m., get my coffee. I go drive by his house and the yard, there's no garden beds at all. It's his house with grass right up to the foundation all the way around. The yard is spotless. Like, he got a good fall cleanup late in the fall. There's no leaves on the yard. And there's one big pile in the front yard of leaves. It's already piled. It's like, I don't know, a few trash cans worth. And so I text him. I was like, hey, there's not really a lot of work here. There's just one pile of leaves. He's like, yeah, I just want that one pile gone. And I was like, do you need mowing? Like, is this going to be a future client in which I can mow your lawn? In which case, like, I'll start the relationship by doing that for you. He's like, no, I mow my own lawn. So I was like, you know, I think you're better off finding somebody else for this. Because like, what am I going to, and like, I don't want to take leaves away. How am I going to do that? I have a pickup truck. Like, well, the leaves are going to fly out to the back unless I tarp it. And like, it's just not going to be worth my time. It's going to take me a half hour. It's not going to come work for a half hour.
Just bag them or something like that.
Yeah, just do it yourself. Like, it's too small. I'm not going to work for a half hour. Like, I need like 4 hours at a time at least.
Right.
So, yeah, turned that down. And then one lady was like, oh, your price is kind of high. And I feel like I'm probably the lowest price around. So I was like, well, see you later. Have fun finding anyone else who's doing it with the nice.
So you think that she might try to find a better price and then she'll come back to you and be like, actually.
Yeah. And I'll say, oh, it actually went up 10 bucks since you called because I'm so busy. And then she'll just have to eat a bag of dirt.
Provided by you.
Yeah, because you've got a lot of it. I'll say you either pay the new higher price or eat this bag of dirt in front of me.
This is, what sort of business are you running here?
The fucking money making business, baby.
the dirty money making business. So yeah, that's what.
I'm out there. I'm hustling.
Tucker's hustling,
and I'm enjoying
this. This is certainly not out of laziness that we're ending this podcast. Tucker is busier than he's ever been in his entire life. More so than the Marines. More so than anything.
No, literally, I just was telling Larry that the last 3 days, I think I just worked the hardest I've ever worked in my life. Harder than I fell asleep on Larry's couch the second the sun went down last night.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever worked as hard because it's, first off, there's a ton of labor, like real manual labor, but I'm also managing all aspects of the business. Like, is this getting done in time? Are we on budget?
That's like me. That's like me when I do a fucking when I direct a video, like a
yeah. That's I'm directing the project.
I'm up at 5 a.m.
And there's so much that you're managing.
I go to sleep at like maybe midnight.
Yeah, it's very satisfying.
And I have to be on and be able to make decisions the whole time.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's tough. But it's worth it.
I mean, it's satisfying. Yeah, it's worth it. If you work like that, you'll make money and you'll be successful. But it's tough. But, you know, I'm hoping that it gives me the independence and freedom one day to be like, oh, I can go to my kid's baseball game if he has one. Or I can do this. I don't have to schedule anything with anybody. It's just me. Like, even, like, people say, like, oh, when can you do this project for me? Like, I tell them the days. Because I don't have to check with anyone. Other than, like, Emma, you know. But it's like... which is really nice, and I'm enjoying that.
Yeah,
like I have Easter off, right? I have Easter off, and I'm going home. I don't have to ask anyone, like, "Hey, do we have Easter off?" Or like, what? You know, it's just like, of course I do, because I want it off.
Yeah,
but it comes with a lot of drawbacks too. There's no benefits. Yeah, you got Easter off.
Yeah, I got Easter off. My sister's coming to LA, and because my parents are.
Ooh, that's fun.
Well, yeah, because my parents are in Santa Barbara right now, and so we're gonna drive up there and we're gonna do Easter in Santa Barbara. But
you should make. Are you picking your sister up?
No, at the airport, an Uber. I'm not going to LAX.
Classic Ted.
Dude, nobody wants to fucking go to LAX.
I know, that's why. I know, LAX? But that's the act of doing it is like, hey, I'll pick you up at the airport. I'll be the first face you see. It's kind of like a gesture.
Yeah, I guess the first face you see aspect, that tracks with me.
It's just very homey to have your friend or family pick you up at the airport. It feels good. Like, yeah. You don't have to have another public transit. It's a sacrifice. It's an act of service.
Yeah.
I think you should do it, and I think you should have an Easter basket for her that you make in the passenger seat. I think that'd be a really cool move. I think you'd get major brownie points.
I think here's the thing. You're right. It's such a good idea.
but she's not worth it, man.
It's also, those are expensive Ubers. It's a nice gesture too that way.
Yeah. Right at the curb. I don't believe in that, but you do you.
Yeah, I mean it saves us all time. You know, saves us
time
all
is the currency we all share. That's the thing. Is I'm a big believer in time as currency. Like, the more personal time you're willing to invest in somebody, the more you're gonna get out. But money is relative. Money means something different to every person.
Okay, what are we talking about right now? I want to talk about.
I want you to pick up your sister at the airport. At the airport.
I know you do.
You can tell Emily, hey, Tucker really wanted me to pick you up at the airport, but I just didn't think you were worth my time.
Why would I say that? Why would I say that?
Maybe I'll shoot her a text.
You don't even have her number.
Hey, why don't you fly in over here? I'll pick you up.
Do you even have her number? You don't have her number.
Find her number. I'll text your mom. She'd love to give it to me.
No.
Your dad wouldn't give me your number, I don't think.
And I will say to my whole family, I will say, if Tucker reaches out and tries to get something from you, do not reply to him. Are you texting right now?
No, I'm playing with a bottle opener.
Yeah, you better. Yeah.
This always does look like a person to me.
That's the funniest thing that could have been in your hand instead of a phone. Oh, no, I'm playing with a piece of metal.
Well, this always looks like a person with arms. Like, that's their head. It does. I've always thought that. This is such a cool contraption. Oh,
that's
really?
That's
for
like
wine
the one
bottles.
But that's like the old style ones that like you'd see when you're a kid, you know? I feel like there's the ones that you get at a fucking
Like a dollar.
The one I have in my place is like something you'd get at a gift shop or something that's like only one side and it's just got the whole thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
This is how you know we drink wine.
We drink wine here.
That's some BioShock shit right there.
Yeah, it's mechanical.
Yeah, you
know, steampunk. Like a steampunk.
Okay, but on my side for the future stuff for people to look forward to is I'm going to be finally, for the first time, only doing projects that are in relation to what I do for like the first time in like 6 years, which is not something that I've ever done before. And I can kind of hone in more on like for instance, like when it came to like collabs and stuff, most of the time I was focusing on like, oh, we need to get a guest for Take It Easy. But now I could do like collabs on my second channel.
And you've already
think about that. I've already started. I did a video with Charlie that you guys are going to see in like less than like in like 3 weeks at the probably the most.
And you did a video with your mom. Just like,
and I did a video
collab,
with my mom that's coming out soon. And like, so I'm just going to take the time that I would have spent on Take It Easy to just make more actual YouTube videos. And I think that's going to result in you guys getting a lot more.
Get more high quality
content from me in the future. Also, when it comes to Take It Easy in terms of seeing Tucker, Tucker's still going to be around to some degree because Tucker's going to come onto my channel.
Yeah, you'll catch me on Twitch sometimes. Or you catch me on Ted's channel sometimes.
Well, yeah. Like sometimes Tucker and I were even talking about an idea for my main channel that we might be doing in the early fall. That we are both very excited about that could be very fun.
Yeah.
And also, don't worry, guys, when it comes to the second channel stuff, I will not post less on my main channel because I'm posting more on my second channel. Okay. That if is something do, that I'm very aware of.
I will
that
be
I'm
right.
going to avoid. And I'm trying to get my main channel back to
late stage YouTuber trap is the second channel.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my main channel back to like around once a month ish. And then have the second channel be pretty much once a month, if not more. So yeah, guys, I mean, I think this is good. This is a good thing. It's just kind of it's a weird thing to talk about. It's hard to, you know, let go of the podcast era. You know what I mean? It's hard to let go of the podcast era, but I think that we did a lot of good things in the podcast era.
We tried really hard.
Yeah,
we did. And you're working as like a successful YouTuber on your own thing. And I consider myself like someone who's not cut out for this, this area of the internet. And so it was hard, and we tried yeah. and, you know,
at the very least, what I will say is that I think through this journey, you have come to understand what I do more.
Mm-hmm. And when YouTube comes crashing and burning down to the ground, you can work for me.
Okay, thank you.
You can haul some mulch or something and plant some trees.
Yeah, haul some mulch. That's oh man. I mean, I know what that's like too, because it's like you get out, you take off that first layer, and you start, and then it's all that, and you get hit with a fucking blast of heat coming into your face, and you're like, what the hell? What is it like? There's like a fucking beast growing in here.
Yeah, mulch is
summer gross is in some ways.
Yeah, summer mulch is hot. Hot. It's like an oven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that it doesn't. I guess it's because it's such a big pile, but I'm surprised that it doesn't. I mean, it's obviously to keep water from evaporating from the soil, right? That's what the purpose of mulch is.
Yeah, it adds nutrients. It holds water. It does a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like a blanket, kind of. Mulch is great. I love mulch.
Mulch has got such a smell, too.
Yeah, and the nice thing about mulch, too, is you can load a wheelbarrow with mulch. It's not that heavy.
What's mulch made of other than wood chips?
There might be like dirt or something in it. I'm not really sure.
There's an organicness to mulch that is hard to describe.
Yeah, it's earthy. It's almost like a good mulch, in my opinion, is almost like a little bit of composty. It's like it's decomposed to a certain degree.
A good mulch has like a sponginess to it.
Yeah, where it's not like wood chips. It's like earthier.
Yeah.
It's almost like halfway decomposed.
Looks a lot better too. Looks a lot better. When I see that fucking crusty mulch, I'm like, come on.
You know what I hate is the red mulch. It looks like it's been painted.
I hate it. No, it's terrible. It's so tacky. It's terrible. I'm thinking of it specifically. I'm thinking of a specific, and you know what? I have a memory of a specific spot, and it's like,
like a condominium complex or like apartments?
Probably.
A lot of times, because they cheap out. They use like those HOA fees, they cheap out on it. Yeah, no, the dark stuff's good.
It's a damn shame.
It's a damn shame.
Love dark mulch.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we were using when we were doing stuff for your dad's company.
Yeah, Tom's not spreading red mulch, dude.
No.
Tom's a dark mulch man. I'm a dark mulch guy. Yeah, no, you can't spread. Yeah, I got some mulching to do. It's mulching season.
And the thing is, too, when it's that, the red mulch is also far more wood chippy, mostly wood chips, I imagine.
Well, they probably hold the paint better. Because I think they are painting it or dyeing it or something. I think they're dyeing it.
Yeah, it's like.
What wood around here would be that red?
Yeah, the only thing it could be made of is like redwood.
Which it's definitely not.
It's not made of redwood, but it like the
no, I think they're
you've
dying
seen like it. A fallen redwood before, and it looks like mulch with the color of
yeah,
like the
cedar.
Mulch is.
Cedar is like that, but cedar's so expensive. There's no way they're turning cedar into mulch.
There's no way they're turning fucking cedar into mulch.
There's no way, dude. It's like the most expensive wood you can
imagine
buy.
This
right
is what
now.
We ended on. We ended on a fucking no mulch way conversation.
Well, that'd be kind of.
We ended on a fucking mulch conversation.
We're
making this episode longer, obviously, because
just
because
like right
we're not going to be doing a bonus episode.
Which for those of you who aren't on the Patreon, we usually do a bonus episode after this.
We usually do a bonus episode. let me just be clear in saying that if you contributed to the Patreon in any way over the course of this podcast, we are so thankful to you. We thank you so much for your support.
You guys really helped.
That really was sort of what made this project be feasible for Tucker and Emma in terms of it being like a business. I mean,
Take It Easy was like a project we wanted to do, but it also had to be a successful business to exist. Like, it had to be multiple things at the same time. And you guys on the Patreon really made that possible. We're so grateful for that, especially Emma and I. You guys got us through a really difficult time in our life that we needed to have, you know, that kind of assurance. And
without the Patreon, I mean, I don't think you guys would have been able to kind of take that maternity, parental leave.
Yeah, because we were able to take on an external editor and still pay Emma for the editing that she would have been doing to give her full time away from the keyboard. And that was excellent. And you guys made that possible. So thank you.
Yeah. So, and you know, thank you guys for all your support over the years too. I mean, like,
yeah, a lot of you have been here for a long time, not just on Take It Easy, but like, this is not just the ending of Take It Easy, but the ending of podcasts from us.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially I mean, 5 years of 6 years of doing it. I mean,
6 years of being like,
but
the
I'll
main
still
guy.
Be around. I'm still going to be around. I'm just
you're
gonna be,
trying to
just
be around
be
more.
I'm trying because to be around more just in a way that is more conducive to things that I feel like are, I'm creating something, you know, whereas like, I'm just like talking on a podcast and I'm not like, I mean, okay, well, for, to be fair, like stuff like Chuckle Dungeon or certain aspects of Chuckle were very creatively satisfying for me. And like, you know, whenever we were doing stuff with Chuckle, it's like a lot of this, I tried to figure out how I could creatively get my fucking jerk off, you know, and all these projects. When we did that with like the photo shoot for Take It Easy and the theme song.
I had
and
a better time on that photo shoot than I was anticipating. That was actually pretty fun. And I credit all of that funness to Devin.
Devin was great. Yeah.
No, he was excellent. Awesome. He was excellent.
Yeah. And you know what? And Devin throughout the whole year, like whenever we needed to have the photos for each particular thing. Well, yeah, no, he had to edit them and he edited the photos throughout the whole. And so, I mean, Devin's great. And we've got those. Now we just have forever these ridiculous, awesome themed photos of when we were this age that we can look back on and be like, hey, like, you know, those are going to be so funny to your kids. And
yeah,
you
know, no, that kind of haunts me almost. It's like so dorky.
I'll send you some.
You could put them all in a frame. Like have each holiday like 6 and 6 or something. It'd be kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. There's not too much else to say. I mean,
keep an eye out for Ted's next project.
I think that when Chuckle ended, it was very much so the end of an era, whereas with Take It Easy, we've only been doing this for a year. So it's like kind of this thing that, it never really took off in the same way that Chuckle is. So it feels a little bit more casual. And I feel like we did so much to end Chuckle in like a really cinematic, good closing way. And like, this is just kind of like the hangout after it ended in a way, just with two friends.
This is real. I feel like for me, the bigger end of an era than for you. Like it's the end of podcast, but this is kind of the end of me working on a computer and working on as like having my face anywhere on digitally. This is the end of my digital career. I'll show up on your video or two or whatever, and I might be on Twitch here and there. But
and it'll be nice because people know, like that'll be great too because it won't be like I'm just bringing a random person to my videos.
I'll have Tucker. A little more history.
People will be like Tucker.
Yeah,
you know, it'll be like seeing like a you know a fucking that thing of Leonardo DiCaprio. There he is. Yeah. There's my favorite white boy. That's Schlatt. Go on. Is there anything else you want to say to the world before you?
I hate furries. I hate VTubers. And thank you for everything that you guys have given me and allowed me to do. Because I really think that without this podcast helping me transition from Chuckle to my own thing...
I can't believe you. It's such a heartwarming thing to say, but you opened with, I hate furries, I hate VTubers, and also... Okay, keep going, though. You're being...
And, yeah, thank you for allowing me to figure out what I wanted to do and, you know, making it possible, because I think that without this podcast, it would have been incredibly difficult to make that transition without some kind of backing to my, like, I don't know, life stability. You guys gave me stability in a very unstable time, and I'm very thankful. And so is Emma. But I hate furries. I hate VTubers. I think VTubers are cowards. And I think if you got off Twitch, it would be a better site.
Oh my God.
Make room for the people who are willing to put their face behind the product. I'm out of here.
Okay.
Go watch Derek.
Well, hey guys, thanks so much for, I don't know, fucking, you'll see me soon.
Next video will get more views collectively than like the last 3 months of Take It Easy. So he's about to actually be doing so much better.
Yeah, I mean, you know. It's,
and maybe he'll stream. He won't. But maybe he will.
Maybe I will.
You should stream Stellaris. I would genuinely, like, that's a great, like, chill stream. You could do chill stream. Have the camera on, no talking. Like, that'd be kind of fun. Have the lights low. Make it old school. Like, yeah. I would put that on while I, like, play a game. Like, I'm playing War Thunder.
If I do streams, it's just going to be, like, I'm not going to be trying to be
No,
fucking,
it's like, you should call it, like,
it's not
Ted's After Hours. It's After Hours with Ted. It's just, like, a chill vibe. You're like taking it easy. You're just chilling out. You're playing games. It's like, hey, you're like, hey, I just was editing for a while and I wanted to play Stellaris. I thought I'd bring you guys with me.
Nice.
You should do it. Nice. You know, maybe he'll stream. He won't, but maybe he will.
Maybe I will.
Who knows?
I have to. I want to go to TwitchCon this year.
You should stream at least once.
I need to stream at least a few times so I have the right to be there. That's always why. That's the reason why I stream sometimes, is because I'm like, I want to go to TwitchCon to see my friends, and so I need to pretend that I'm a streamer for a little bit. Either way, thank you guys so much for the support over the last year and for the last 5 years with podcasting. And you know, I mean,
take it easy.
Take it easy.